Have you seen this other story? It's kind of been in my peripheral, but it just keeps coming up because I think social media knows, like, I'm a UFO nerd.
Okay.
That this Air Force retired guy was went for a hike and was never seen again.
Like
and,
a Springsteen song. Went out for a walk and never came back.
That was intentional.
Okay. You never know. He may have said, I'm out of here.
He was trying to get away from his family.
Right.
I don't think this guy was. Let's bring on Ross Culhert, investigative journalist, and he's been doing a great job covering this. Hey, Ross, thanks for coming on so early.
It's a pleasure. Good morning, gents.
Good morning. Morning. Not early where you are, right? It's 9 o'clock at night?
It's evening in Australia where I am.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm just
okay.
About to go to bed.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. So tell us about this Air Force general that was retired and disappeared.
Okay, the intriguing thing about Major General Neil McCasland is because he's very closely linked to a most extraordinary story that back in 2016, he was secretly colluding with John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, in the Trump-Clinton election to disclose the existence of a non-human intelligence, aliens.
Okay.
Hello.
Whoops.
And the line went dead. Is this nuts?
Whoa. This is nuts.
They got him.
Is this crazy?
Come in, Baldur. Hello.
Oh, my God. Tell me that they don't have his lines tapped
right.
And they just say, flip the
right.
Switch.
Click. Right. That is
That's
bizarre.
Wild.
That is very bizarre. Or he was just airlifted.
Oh, you mean like beamed out?
He's on the phone right now going, where am I?
His particles reassemble on a spaceship.
Right.
And there's people with long fingers.
Right, going.
He's like, good day?
Right. That was bizarre.
Bizarre.
Yes,
and now
it was.
Phil can't get him.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
Wow. Yep. Further proof of alien life.
We got to call him tomorrow, make sure he's still alive.
Right.
Holy crap.
It's the phone's not even ringing. Like, I've dialed the number and there's not even any sound coming through.
Maybe he's still talking.
I think what you said is right. He just got beamed out.
There's a light, and there was a light. First, they thought that guy's a bag of Doritos.
So wait, he's holding the phone in one hand,
right?
A bag of Doritos with the other,
right? Because they love Doritos. I've seen the commercials. They love Doritos.
Okay, so Doritos disappear first,
right? Exactly right. Then all of a sudden, he's like standing there in his boxer shorts on the phone going, what's going on here?
All right, we think we got him.
Oh, okay, cool.
G'day, guys.
Hey, I don't know what happened. That was weird.
Yeah, good timing.
It's all part of the big conspiracy to stop the story from being told.
Right.
We thought you were just beamed up to an alien spacecraft.
Did you see a bright light all of a sudden?
So Major General Neil McCasland basically was plotting with Hillary Clinton's campaign manager to reveal the fact that there are aliens engaging with this planet. And that's what he told very close people like John Podesta and, believe it or not, Blink 182 rock star Tom DeLonge way back in 2016. And it was all about revealing the fact that there are aliens and that the government of the United States is covering this up. And Hillary Clinton was going to be the disclosure president who revealed all this. This is why this general's disappearance has really become an absolute firestorm for people in the UAP, the community that are researching UFOs. They think Neil McCasland might have met foul play. At the moment, though, what we do know is that he disappeared on February the 27th, nearly a month ago. In the middle of the morning, his house was being visited by a repairman. The repairman was the last person to see him alive. His wife came back an hour later, and he had disappeared off the face of the earth. It's been misreported that he went for a run. There's no evidence he went for a run. Basically, all we know
about a hike?
Is that he was... Well, no evidence of that either.
Oh.
We know that he was a very keen trail runner and hiker. He's an extremely fit man. There's no sign of mental deterioration. The police have said that there was some evidence of mental fog, but there's been no explanation of what that means. But his wife, Susan, has clarified that there's no evidence at all that he was suffering from dementia. There appears to be no motivation for possible suicide. But what we do know is that his tracking watch, his running watch, and his mobile phone were very unusually left in the house, which is not consistent with his normal behavior.
That's not something a military person's going to do.
Yeah, unless they're supposed to be off the grid.
When they go for a walk, unless they don't want to be tracked.
Yeah. Exactly. They took
and
his gun.
The worst thing of all, guys, is he took his .38 revolver and holster with him.
Yeah, so I saw that.
The implication is that he obviously anticipated some kind of possible threat. And the speculation is that maybe he was concerned to go to a meeting without being tracked.
Can I just say, when you start with Hillary, Trump, Blink 182.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, oh, see, why? Because I want to believe.
Yeah, and now you wonder.
It's like, all right, and Blink 182. All right, okay, another crackpot.
But no, Tom DeLonge's a big aliens guy.
He took it very seriously. He left the band, and everyone was like, what are you doing? And he said, I am going to find evidence of aliens. Everyone was like, sure, dude, Blink 182 guy. Yeah. And then when he came back, he's like, I did it. That's an 8-year condensed story, but that he did.
I know, but you know what I'm saying when you hear these factoids. It's like, all right, yeah. Trump and Hillary, here we go again. Blink 182.
You might as well throw in Grimace, you know, like
Well,
he wasn't involved.
Exactly right. Yeah. Because there's so much credible evidence. When you put these names into the bucket, it just kind of sours the whole batch.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right, they're bad ingredients.
And this is, we have on an investigative reporter who's done some tremendous work. The UFO phenomenon in plain sight. These are like really, you know, you're clearly a believer when you watch your stuff. When I watch your stuff, I'm like, okay, this guy's preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
You don't go in like, all right, I don't know what the truth is, and we're going to ask and try to get, you know, go down the middle.
Yeah.
One of the things that you missed, though, that I thought stood out to me with this whole general disappearing is the wife leaves at 11:10 in the morning and to a medical appointment, and she's back at 12:04.
Wow.
Who goes to a medical appointment and gets back in under an hour?
Jiffy fix. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is an extraordinary story. I mean, nobody has any explanation at all for where this general has gone. All we know is that he's disappeared off the face of the earth. And this is a guy who was running the Air Force Research Laboratories at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which is notorious for being one of the most sensitive secret sites in the American military. It's where the U.S. does...
There we go again.
Oh, secret sites in the U.S. military, and the phone cuts off.
It's a little more than a coincidence, don't you think?
He's saying all the magic words. Right. Trump, Hillary.
Yeah, listen. There you go again.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
That's right, bitches.
Dumbass.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You want to start with the guy who was sticking balloons up his nose for a world record?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, how much of this do I need to set up, and how much will the clip take care of?
You're not going to really understand anything that's being said, because this was on like a Guinness television show. This guy attempted this live on camera.
Attempted?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Did he die?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Might have to hear the end of the clip.
I must know now.
That's the hook. Did he?
Yeah.
Sometimes you could break a world record.
Right.
But die.
Exactly. Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yeah. You would have wanted it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think you make the book for that, though. I don't think they put you in.
They don't mention the dying part.
They should have that person who
died. Well, let's just say if you stuck a balloon in your nose and you broke whatever record you're trying to break.
Yeah.
And then 10 seconds later, you die.
Yeah.
You did break the world record.
Yeah, you get that.
You should at least get that.
You earned that.
Acknowledge it, yes.
All right, so this is an Austrian guy. He sticks balloons up his nose for a world record during the filming of a German TV He successfully passed inflated balloons from one nostril to his mouth.
Oh, you can keep those balloons.
10 times in 60 seconds.
Yeah, he's doing like the plumbing snake almost. Like,
You know, those first couple had stuff attached to it.
I will say.
I think you prepare and you clean yourself out first.
Yeah, but still, you just can't get enough of blowing.
And he had the balloons like lubricated. They're in like a bowl of liquid.
They're actually condoms.
I'm gagging just thinking about it.
Every word is worse.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what we can figure out by listening to it.
Okay.
Not a fan of the sound.
It's like he's eating spaghetti.
I think the music was there to protect the view. It's just a lot of...
gag.
Tea noodles.
That little owl.
Yeah. That's him or someone watching?
That's the audience. So like every 2 seconds, they're like, well, this is disgusting. Yeah, so they cut to the audience and everyone just has their hands like this over their eyes.
Yeah. Actually, they're gagging with the camera and they'll film it. Yeah.
So he's counting the time there.
Right. But...
this is why the aliens, you know, they're like, well, this is the monkey planet. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're the planet of weirdos and monkeys.
We're their TikTok.
Yeah.
We are that.
We're their TikTok.
All right. Wow.
They
how many
us.
Years ago did we just leave them there? And like, this is what they're doing now.
This is how far they've come.
Yeah.
Yeah. It smells like rubber in here.
Imagine that. Put some primordial slop or some like seeds of humanity on the planet.
Right.
You're like, all right, we're going to come back and check on this in like a million years or whatever. And you come back. Like, wow. They're putting balloons through their noses on television.
This went horribly wrong.
This went horribly wrong.
This experiment totally failed.
So bad.
Right.
Oh, man. We wasted the good environment on these guys.
Right.
Right. We're missing one balloon.
That's pretty cool, though. That's pretty cool.
Neat party trick.
Don't pop it.
We're a disappointment to them all.
Yes, we are.
Do you think him and his wife, like Lady and the Tramp, a balloon when they're having fun? Right. Just between the nose? Just nose to nose?
That's love right there.
Yeah.
It's gross. After like the first two balloons, because he's I guess allowed to use his fingers to help.
Oh,
so he's helping to put it in, and then with his other hand, he's helping to pull it out. So his fingers are dripping. By like the second balloon, you're just seeing moisture like flying around the set. It's
How do you know you have this talent and you want to do it? Like you're eating spaghetti and you sneeze and a strand comes out your nose and you're
I'm onto something here. Ma, look.
I have never thought to try. It's a good question.
It was lasagna noodle, even worse.
All right, we're gonna... How do you fingerprint a guy with no fingers?
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
That's right.
Yes.
Dumbass.
Hi. Yesterday we were talking about the guy. And Vince was the first person to send us this story. No arms, no legs, and he's a cornhole champion.
Amazing, isn't it?
When he was very young, he got a virus, and they had to remove his arms and legs at the joints.
Yeah.
Oh. So he has the stubs. He has the biceps. He's got the,
the knees. That's about it.
Up to the knees.
Yeah.
But he flourished.
Yeah. I mean, he did
cornhole champion, fired weapons.
Yeah.
All kinds of things.
Overachiever, yeah.
Overachiever.
Drove, apparently.
Oh, drove a car.
Yeah.
Well, not only did he drive a car, but he could fire a gun.
Yeah.
And kill a passenger while driving the car.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Overachiever, like I said.
And we were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Four people in the car of the four people, they pick him to drive.
Right.
The guy with no arms and no legs.
Apparently he was sober, yes.
Okay. So the story is he's driving. He kills the passenger, allegedly. The two people in the back seat are like, what the hell?
Right.
The dude with no arms and no legs say, hey, can you get that body out of the car for me? They're like, we're leaving.
Yeah.
And they go.
Yep.
He drives off. He dumps the body. And then they find the car in Virginia.
Right.
They eventually catch him.
Short chase.
They book him.
Right.
How do you fingerprint a guy?
Yeah.
Do you even have to at that point?
Right. With no fingers.
Right. You put in a lineup. Yeah. Hmm.
They didn't talk about how they handcuffed him.
Right.
There's really no way to do it.
No. You put that leash on him. Like the toddlers put that leash on him.
I was thinking Chinese finger traps from the carnival.
Yeah, no. I had a different idea. See, we all had a different idea.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you just throw a bug net over him like he's a butterfly.
Right. This is true. Or sticky trap.
I would be afraid of this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's clearly strong.
Yeah.
He clearly has overcome this challenge.
It's a killer instinct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I once here... We're joking about little people, and we're using the M word. Yep. And I'm, you know, I'm not a part of these meetings or the memos.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was a bad word.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So I'm walking to my car, and this car comes swooping in the parking lot and stops right where I am. Passenger window down. So I'm looking through the passenger window. Thank you. And it's a little person.
Oh, hey.
And he's got the little arm.
A little short temper.
And he's pointing at me with the little arm.
Right.
And he's schooling me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if I laugh, I'm dead.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
You know, I, by the way, laugh when I'm stressed out.
Yes.
Yep.
So, Not every time you see me laughing.
Right.
I don't think it's funny.
Right.
Sometimes I'm like, I can't mentally handle this
right now. Yeah, it happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I was like, if I smile right now, he's going to get out and kick my ass.
Yeah.
And there's no winning that fight, by the way.
There is
if you
not,
win
no.
the fight, it's like, okay, you beat up a little person.
Right.
And then if you lose the fight, it's like you lost to a little person.
Your knees are wrecked. Yeah.
But I was afraid of this guy. I was like, this guy could kick some ass, and I think he is an ass kicker.
Yes.
Which guild did he represent?
Right.
I'm not sure.
It wasn't him. It was the other 15.
Was not the lollipop. I'll tell you that right now.
It was the other 15 in the car that came out. That damn
but I apologize.
Yeah.
I'd never use the word again.
Yeah, no, you didn't know.
But if I saw this guy, no arms, no legs, I'd be afraid.
Yeah.
Did you see him enter that cornhole championship?
Yeah.
He came flopping in like a seal.
Yeah.
Now, he could have came in on the prosthetic legs and then taken them off and like, I'm ready to compete, but it's more dramatic to come flopping in.
That's part of his entourage, yeah.
I felt bad for his competitor. His competitor's standing out there. They're cheering for him, and then they cheer for this guy. The whole place goes nuts.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because
he's overcoming his disability.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a proud moment.
So all of a sudden, the crowd's with this guy flopping in.
Right.
Like a seal.
Right.
It's a great entrance as a professional cornhole player.
It is.
It immediately puts your opponent on their heels.
The psych. Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, the crowd is not with me.
You psych them out. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And look at what I can do.
Right, exactly.
Can you do this?
Right.
And again, to your point earlier, if you now get down and do that, no one cares.
No one cares.
It's like, no, of course, we'd expect you'd be able to do that.
Yeah. But to be able to flop in like that, you have body strength. Like every... muscle
and the ball in the nose
your
body
too.
You play it on Yankee Doodle. Sorry.
What is this?
Put a ball in his nose.
The seal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Part of the intimidation.
Well, they arrest him. There's no word on how they handcuffed him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
I think you duct tape him.
I think
I duct tape the stubs down.
Right.
I duct tape the leg stubs and the arm stubs down.
You know those papooses that some parents have in the front?
Oh, the baby Bjorn.
Put one of those.
No way.
He can still get you with
no way. He's going to headbutt you.
Yeah, okay.
He's going to kick you in the nuts with a stub.
Right.
That's just the kids. They do that anyway.
Yeah. Right. Well, what about cooking twine and you truss them up like a turkey? You know what I mean? You put the arms in the back and then the leg, you know, like drumsticks.
Yeah, yeah.
You like right before you put it in the oven.
Kind of like hog tie them.
Yeah, yeah.
No pest strips.
Stick an apple in his mouth, you know.
Yeah.
But think about
Vince goes right to food.
Well, he looked like a Purdue roaster, you know, if you tie him up the right way.
Right.
Again, if you don't know this show, we do a lot of community work.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
We help anyone that we can.
Right.
And we're in awe of this guy and everything he's done.
Yeah.
Up until the point he killed somebody.
Murder, yeah.
Right.
And now we're talking about
a murderer.
if you're the cop who rolls up on this guy,
yeah,
and it's like, hey, man, he killed somebody.
You're like, really?
He's potentially not armed. He's not armed. But he has a gun.
Right.
But he's not armed.
Right.
He's dangerous. Yep. He's unarmed with a gun and dangerous.
Right.
You're like, you don't know how to receive that call.
Exactly.
But you know now, you roll up on this guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to arrest you.
Right.
Okay, it's like a firefighter. They roll up on these scenes. It's like, all right, there's this ring on my dong, and like I need it cut off.
Yeah.
Okay? It's one of these, all right, I've never done this before. Now what do I do? And right. I have to figure this out.
Watch YouTube manual.
I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here.
Right.
But I got a job to do now.
Can you help me arrest you? Because
I have a job to do.
Yeah, let's get this done and let's talk about it ever again.
The guy knows how to fire a gun.
Yeah.
He's a cornhole champion.
Yes.
No arms, no legs.
Right.
How do you get him in the car?
Right.
Coax. He's got to go.
Coax him.
He's got to go
right.
willingly.
Right.
Or what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you? Tell me what you're going to do, AJ.
Grab him like a bowling ball.
I was thinking the back of the pants.
Okay, but yeah. did you see him come into the cornhole championship?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
came, like, that whole body can twist and turn, and, right. like, before you know it, there's a stub in your eye.
Right. Okay. All right, give him another word. Taser.
Okay.
Right.
Taser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, you need to roll a, you know, my thing would be duct tape, but, you know, he's going to have to willingly be duct taped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you roll them like a blanket, like a tortilla.
Yes, or a sleeping bag.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good luck at the end of that one. I'm just saying.
Emma.
Yes. Right. I would like to know how he got the body out of the car.
Yeah, he apparently did it by himself.
Yeah.
Open the door.
How? Think right. about this. Think about it.
Yeah.
It's hard for you and I to do it because we have arms and legs.
Right.
And the body's heavy.
Yeah. No, but he opened the door, then he just like nudged it out.
Right.
I don't think him. I don't yeah. think he like dragged it behind the tree.
Yeah, no, I think they kind of pushed him out.
They like, found it on a yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't hide
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or he opened the door and take a hard corner.
Right. Exactly.
you know.
Hard left. Yeah, off he goes.
That wasn't the hardest thing he did that day. That's the thing. No arms, no legs. Yeah. Firing the gun while you're driving.
Yeah.
And hitting the target.
Right.
Yeah, you know, heart firing is hard enough.
Yes. I mean, not for nothing, but, you know, that guy did himself no favors because it took a while to load the gun and everything else. Cock it.
The passenger, you're
saying.
Yeah,
the guy you shot.
The passenger.
You had plenty of time to stop it.
You're saying is.
Yeah, kind of didn't help the situation.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. If I see a gun come out, I'm running.
Yeah, no survival instincts.
Yeah, none.
Yeah.
Or at least smack it out of his hands.
All right, so there's no word on how they handcuffed this guy. There's no word on any of this.
No.
This is the story to me. And then the fingerprinting, they inked the stubs.
Yeah. Right.
Which there's no identifying prints on the stubs.
Or so, his face. Yeah.
You know, what do you do with that?
Right.
So I would say in the future, if you arrest a guy with no arms and no legs who fired a gun, you don't have to say, let's see if his stub matches the stub we have on file.
Right, yeah.
The stub database. Like, no, I'm pretty sure it's the same friggin' guy.
Right. No line up here. Yeah. Number four. Step four.
Round up.
Right.
Everyone with no arms and no legs.
Right.
I want to line up.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, you inchworm forward, please.
Right. Yeah. Whoop. All right. We're good, right? What are the mysteries here that we need to know on this no arms, no legs guy?
Yeah.
Can we just write it all down and then we'll try to find a reporter who can get to the bottom of these things? They're important.
Yeah.
Like Ruth was saying, what was the fight over?
Right.
What were they arguing about?
Right.
Okay, shoes. That's one. Ruth, write that down. What were they arguing about?
Shoes.
Okay. Guy with no arms, no legs.
Right.
Allegedly shoots and kills a passenger.
Right.
Two other people in the back seat.
Right.
Where were they going?
Where were they going?
Exactly right.
Where were they going?
Can
we just answer this question? Where were they going?
Payless.
What about the police officer? How did he... There's no handcuffs. How did you... Get him from wherever to the police station.
Right. You coax him. Something he likes. What a yummy.
What else do we want to know here?
You think they trapped him like E.T.?
Yeah, Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces. They threw a bag of Reese's Pieces in the back of the car. Pieces.
That would work for me, by the way.
He just locked in. They closed the door.
Yep.
He's a kid.
Yep.
Chaz and AJ.
Good morning.
Hey.
Morning.
Oh, yeah. Here's a question. How did he pull the trigger?
Well, that we saw in a video. There's a video of him not only pulling the trigger, but he has a nine millimeter pistol.
Right.
He puts a new fresh clip in it.
Right.
He cocks it.
Yeah.
He picks it up, aims it.
Yeah.
and then fires it multiple times. So he.
Oh my God, he was talented, wasn't he?
He was, up until this point. He was amazing.
Up until the murder,
yeah.
We're like, this is an inspirational story that should have been a movie that we all saw. Yeah. And
went too far though.
Yeah, yeah, that part.
Is, yeah, that's where you blew it.
The other thing I'd like to know is, how did the passenger who was murdered not know this was coming?
Yeah.
Because if you see the video of him loading the gun, cocking the gun, yeah, and then firing the gun, it took time.
It
wasn't quick draw fire.
No.
How did the passenger see this? Why didn't you just jump out of the car?
You could have been halfway home in an Uber by that point.
Or you have to be at least able to fight this guy.
Right. Smack the gun away. Yeah.
Smack the gun away.
All you
gotta
do is just toss it at distance. Done.
Right.
Yep.
Ed in East Haven.
Hey, I just dropped her off at school, but my 9-year-old daughter has a question about this. Okay. She actually had a few of them.
Right.
And they were much like you. How did he put his hand in the trigger guard to pull the trigger? That was her question. Mm. Also, where was it? And how the hell is he driving with no hands and legs?
Well, clearly he had a car that was... Right. You know, well, specially fitted for him.
Yeah, definitely automatic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're good questions.
Yeah.
The firing of the gun we saw with the video, yeah, the car is specially equipped.
Right.
Where he's keeping it is a good question, though. Is it like, that's not just like tucked into his waistband.
Right. Where was the gun?
It's
got to be like on his chest in a holster pointed at the guy. So all he's got to do is put his little, sorry for the word, nub in there. And pull the I don't get it.
Yeah.
All right. How many questions? That's like 5 or 6, right?
Well, like 5 or 6. Listen, she wrote the story.
How do you get in the car?
How do you get in the car?
How do you get in the car?
You can't pull the handle.
Oh, my God.
There's too many unanswered questions.
Way too many.
Chaz and AJ in the morning. We have to form a list of questions and get a reporter in that area.
We must.
On the phone and try to answer some of these.
Yeah.
AJ and Shelton.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, good. Thanks.
I was talking to Phil, but yeah, there's a video of him. It's wild. It's him climbing a tree stand with a gun. And I don't know how.
A rifle or a pistol?
With a rifle. I mean, he has it around his shoulder.
Yeah, strap. Right.
Yeah, with a strap. Yeah, but like the fact that he like climbs a tree stand with just like no arms and legs is. It's pretty crazy. If you Google and see it, it's a wild video.
You know what happens? Like, if you're getting into a fight with this guy, he'll do something like just kind of roll across the floor or something.
Yeah.
And it'll freak you out for a half a second. That half a second's the advantage. He just takes your eye out with a stub.
He's like a Chucky doll.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this guy, up until the murder,
had no bounds.
Was just this amazing story that
we,
by the way, all of us should have heard of this guy beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was amazing until this point.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he climbs a ladder, like full gear, up into a tree.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yep.
All right, AJ, thank you. Hungry man.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, Chaz, you were talking about how did they fingerprint him. Obviously, they couldn't know fingers, but they likely probably swabbed his cheek for DNA.
Swab his cheek.
During the
upper one, right?
the inside of his mouth.
Yeah, the bottom one.
Technically, you can get DNA from either one.
That's kind of rude.
That is a good
point. Like stuffing a turkey.
I'd imagine that is their preference, yes.
Yeah.
They did say they inked his stubs, which they have no print. Oh, so what are you going to do? Just match it to the other, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yep. Maybe some like skin
DNA.
The one question
I would have is, didn't you guys mention a day or two ago that he went to a hospital to get treatment for something and that's how they caught him?
Hmm.
That was part of his...
They got him at the hospital.
Yeah, yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, so what did he go to the hospital for? What treatment was he seeking?
Right, and did... Exactly. There's another question.
Yeah.
Why was he at the hospital?
Gonorrhea.
Why did he leave the car behind?
Yeah. Yeah,
They found the car in Virginia.
Yeah,
why did he have a car accident?
Did he hop a cab?
Yeah,
probably all stressed out from moving that body.
This
right?
is the most amazing sequences of events.
Yeah,
and they do this story with whatever information's available at the time. Then they move on.
Yeah.
Like, all right, now we're going to do the cat in the tree.
Yeah,
No, you don't.
You didn't finish.
You do like old school reporting. You assign someone to the story, and you say, "I want every detail on the story. I want an article every day."
Yep.
Go.
This ain't done.
This ain't over.
This ain't over. Yeah.
Paul on the road.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
It's Chaz and AJ in the morning. What do you got?
Yeah, so I thought this was a crazy story up until, so I was temping at a, I don't want to say the job or anything, but I was younger. I was in my 20s. And this guy was missing an eye from, like, an industrial accident or something. So okay. He would take it out and he'd play with it at lunch. So I went to go get my lunch one morning or afternoon, and I see suppositories in there. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's playing with his fake eye and doing suppositories. Like, what the hell?
What, he stuck a suppository in his eye socket?
No, but he was playing with his eye at lunch.
Okay.
And one, you know, math is math in there, so I'm sure, you know.
Wait, what was the suppository part of the story?
Yeah, I don't get it part.
Yeah, because he was playing with his eye at lunch.
Right,
and
okay.
And then he, you know, something was going on with his stomach or whatever, and he was doing suppositories.
Okay.
What do you mean?
It was just weird.
What do you mean? Like in his butt?
Right.
Yeah.
At the lunch table.
Did he swallow his eye?
Yeah, right? It was just weird. He would just play with his eye and like his.
What, were you like a marble? Like how?
Yeah. Just take it out at lunch and like polish it and like clean it. I don't know. It was weird.
Oh, right. He kept that for you. Yeah.
But this cornhole player, that's amazing.
The eye guy sounds pretty.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Different.
Maybe swallow his eye. The doctor goes.
Did you ever hear? I'm sorry, AJ. You were in the middle of a joke. Go ahead.
I was gonna say he swallowed his eye. Goes to the proctologist, and the proctologist goes, "You just have to trust me." His eyeball's looking out. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Right.
Wait. The eye. The eye is looking out his ass.
Yes. And the doctor goes, "Look at him." Says, "You just have to trust me." He has to keep an eye on him. Yeah. It's an old joke.
I wish I just kept talking.
Yeah,
that probably would have been better.
Yeah.
It's all right though. Yeah.
You never know. Yeah.
So this guy would just pull his eye out at the lunch table, which is weird. Like HR.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, we're trying to eat over here. This guy's rolling his eye around the table.
He's great at marbles.
But he sneezes exactly. And it's like, yep.
Oh, damn it.
That's a big eye, by the way.
Right.
Not made of glass.
No.
I mean, I'm picturing him like with the spoon, like trying to flick it into like his coffee cup.
Right. It's great at pong, beer
and
pong.
Then the suppository. He would do that at the lunch table?
No. But
thank God.
It was in the fridge. So I was like, you know what, two and two, man.
So he's putting ice cold suppositories in there?
Well, in case he swallowed his eye, he could get it out easier.
Oh, man.
Hey. Hmm. Yeah, at that point, you just get another eye.
I get another eye.
Yeah. How do you only have one, right? That's definitely when you need a backup, at least.
Oh, yeah. For different occasions, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got your wedding eye.
Like a Christmas ball one. Yep. That'd be cool. Hey.
This is my full moon eye.
Oh, that's cool.
One with cross
eyes. I have
cross
like every kind of eye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. One looks like an eight ball.
That'd be cool. That's actually pretty cool.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
Like a Terminator eye.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Get my eye on you.
Knight Rider.
The bionic eye patch is just as good.
Right.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your call. Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation on the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's take a call. Greg in New Haven.
Good morning. I just want to ask Jimmy a couple questions. First, any chance of getting Triumph in Connecticut? And I had a question also about like music royalties.
Sure. We're working on Triumph to play Mohegan Sun in the fall.
Nice. See? Boom, boom. Oh, done.
Great.
Because of you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
This is the thing we find out in this segment, like what's being worked on now.
Right.
Well, the tour, Triumph Tour, is doing great during the summer, so they decided to extend it. We had missed out on the first run.
Like Magic Power.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Good. Very good. And so they're extending the run, so that's great for us.
Good. Also, are artists supposed to get royalties when their music's played live?
Yes. They get it through a royalty organization called either ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, or four or five different organizations that the club has to pay or the promoter has to pay to the royalty agency, and then they give the money to the band.
Wow.
That's
like a dive bar, a cover band at some dive bar.
Yes.
How do they get
if you have bands or if you have DJs on a regular basis,
yeah,
ASCAP or BMI is going to knock on your door and they're going to ask you for a yearly fee.
Yep.
And if not, it's a fine of like $10,000 per infraction, and an infraction is a song. So multiply that and yeah, you're toast.
Right.
You get nailed.
Interesting. How much does a bar have to pay like annually for that?
Well, that is how big the bar is.
Yeah.
They do it by size.
Sounds like you're guilty of something here.
Yeah. What are we beating around the bush with here, Greg?
What did you do?
Which bar do you own?
Have a good day, guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotta go now.
I have to make some calls.
I gotta move.
Do you guys, Jimmy, does Live Nation at its venue have to pay those organizations?
Yes, we even have to pay those organizations when you walk in and you hear the music before the show. Anybody that the artist plays over the sound system during when people are walking in before anything happens on stage,
wow,
we have to pay that too.
Bam.
Jeez.
I need a hit song.
Well, the people paid to get in to hear the music, you would think, okay, that kind of covers it because the money is going to the artist.
Right, yeah.
But I didn't even think, right, there are songs that the artist didn't write.
Right. Oh.
Well, when you walk in and let's just say you're seeing the Foo Fighters in Bridgeport and they happen to be playing,
AC/DC.
AC/DC when you're walking in just over the music playing, we have to pay AC/DC.
Wow.
Yeah, any incidental music if you're walking, like music you hear in a hallway or a store. Or
what a song in my head.
Not yet.
Am I good yet?
Worthless.
Thank you. My head or the song?
Both.
Turkey in a straw. Try that one.
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation. Speaking of the Foo Fighters, that show in Bridgeport sold out immediately, correct?
Everything sold out. We had three different pre-sales. Each pre-sale sold out. We always held tickets for the on-sale. And then the on-sale sold out right away, too.
Nuts.
Damn.
Well, when you think about seeing them in a 7,000-seat venue, and then after that, you'll have to share the experience with 80,000 people.
Right.
It was something last week when you were on the show, and you said, I looked at the queue, and there was 480,000 people waiting for 7,000 seats.
Damn, man.
It's like, okay. Yeah.
You blink, boop, gone.
That's right.
Done.
Yeah, it was really, a lot of those are bots.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, bots. We don't have 480,000 people really looking to buy. I mean, that's basically a tenth of the state of Connecticut.
Oh.
Is looking to buy tickets. And we look at the ticket sales, and there are some sales in Chicago and in L.A. and things like that.
Okay.
So the scalpers get a lot of tickets, I'm afraid.
Me too. Scalpers, great.
Trish.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question for Jimmy is just, are you guys thinking of doing the $25 concert series again at the Meadows?
Well, we've done it every year. Last year it was $30 all in. It used to be $25. The last couple of years it's been $30. We've done it every year. We have not heard anything about it yet this year. I hope they do. But we've heard nothing about it yet. It's only March. We usually do it in May, mid-May, so we have time to find out.
Okay. I want to take my son to his first concert.
Nice.
So, I'll be watching.
What do you want to take him
Thank
to?
Thank you. Something good.
Something good.
Just
you're
something
in luck.
Good.
Yeah,
you want your first concert to be good. You want it to be something you brag about.
Yes. Not high from.
Right.
Like Britney Spears.
Right. Exactly.
I was dragged to that one. That was not my choice.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Trish.
Have
Jimmy, your
day.
First concert was the Beatles, correct?
Beatles at Carnegie Hall.
Damn, man.
That's amazing.
That's epic.
You can't beat that.
No. You can never beat that.
You can't beat that.
Can't even try it. Yeah.
I think that's why I'm here.
Right.
I saw what happened. I love live music from then on.
Yeah.
How could you not when you hear 3,000 people screaming, most of them women.
Yeah.
Girls.
Yeah.
When I was 14.
I usually hear that too, but for the wrong reasons.
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation, is on the show, and folks are asking about tours. You can call or text 877-764-2535. Sage, North Haven.
Hey, Jimmy. Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
Hey, any plans for Hardy to come to Connecticut anytime soon?
Not this year. We had Hardy last year up at the Meadows, so no play this year. Hopefully next year.
Okay, cool.
And there you have it.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Jeff from Derby, Pete Townsend or Roger Daltrey solo?
There's no word of Pete Townsend touring solo. We are working on Roger Daltrey solo, but I think it's likely more towards Oakdale, something like that.
Possible. Have they ever busted up stuff on one of your shows?
Yes.
Yeah.
Up at the Meadows. Roger got... It's actually Roger that did it. It was really,
really
bad. He had trouble hearing through his monitors in his ear. He had real trouble hearing. A lot of static, and he walks off the stage. Happened to be standing next to him when he walked off the stage because he married a girl from Stanford. So we talked because he married her. It's my hometown, Stanford.
Yeah.
So we talked about it, and as he was complaining to me, and somebody handed him a cup of tea before the encore because he wanted to soften the throat a little before he went back out.
Yeah.
And he started getting really cranky, and his sound guy came up to him, and he took the teacup, and he threw it on the ground, and it splattered all over the place, the glass.
Wow.
It went into my security guy's eye. He went down.
Ooh.
Had to take him to the hospital.
Oh,
wow.
Damn.
Yeah. He wanted to sue Roger Daltrey.
He was teed off, yeah.
I had to stop him from suing Roger Daltrey because I said, he'll never work with me again.
Yeah.
What do you need? I'll take care of whatever you need. Let's not get Roger Daltrey into it.
Right.
So, but Roger lost it that night, probably with good reason. We didn't have to throw the teacup.
But if you think about how they were breaking all the instruments in the 60s, like a teacup is like, okay.
Yeah. Don't give him the good one.
Not the fine china.
In your eye.
Yeah, yeah. Unless it goes in your eye, then.
Yeah, maybe give him a styrofoam cup next time.
AC/DC just returned to the stage after Steve Young's hospitalization. Steve is the nephew of Angus. Who replaced Malcolm?
Yeah,
when Malcolm had to step aside, and they're in Argentina now.
Oh, okay.
Any chance of them coming to Connecticut or Long Island, New York?
Well, they're playing City Field. MetLife. They're playing MetLife.
Okay, so that'll be their New York area stop.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
September 25. That will be New York. No Connecticut. We were going to have September 20. But there's a football game, a UConn football game that day up in Rensselaer.
Can you just cancel it? AC/DC, UConn. We can always see football.
Right.
It is UConn Stadium, not our stadium.
Damn it.
You'd think they could move the football game to somewhere
right,
or smaller.
Play earlier. Play in the parking lot. I guess not.
No, they have a good team, actually. So
right. Yeah, I'm not saying don't play. Just don't play there.
It's their field.
Someone's backyard be cool. Old school.
Rich, what's your question for Jimmy Koplik?
Good morning, gang.
Morning.
Hi.
This one's really kind of out there. It's not about concerts. It's about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I didn't get on last week or 2 weeks ago when Jimmy was talking about it. Is there any DJs that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Alan Freed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think Bon Jovi talked about Howard Stern.
Right.
Like, that he should be in there.
Yeah, he's not, right. But they say he should be.
Right.
Hmm.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. Hmm.
Just off the cuff here, I have I got one for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This guy has been a DJ. I mean, I'm 74, and I've been listening to that music for over 60 years.
Wow. Okay, so
and I've been listening to this guy.
It's not us.
On your station. No, on your station.
Oh.
Mike Lapatino.
It's a
I mean, that
solid
guy knows
choice.
Every record.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it
sounds crazy, probably, but.
He wouldn't
that
think
guy's
so.
Been there forever.
Well, if there was a Connecticut Radio Hall of Fame, he should make it. I agree with that.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
He should be in a Broadcast Hall of Fame in Connecticut.
Right.
Yep. Scott Muni would be someone from WNEW who should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Good idea.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rich.
Okay. Thank you.
Next time I see Lappy, his head won't fit through the door.
Exactly. Like a parade float.
Scooter in Wallingford.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Jimmy, is there an opener for the Foo Fighters in Bridgeport?
Yes. Some act they never heard of, and you probably never heard of either.
I know who you're talking about, too, and
something
I can't think of
that. Fox and something. It's not
Foxy Shazam, so relax.
Right.
No,
that's what ears perk up.
Yeah, Ruth grabbed her phone immediately. She's like, I need to say.
Yeah. What is it, Phil?
Frankie and the Witch Fingers.
Oh, that's it, right.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Right. So,
what's a witch finger?
So, tailgate for a while. Frankie and the Witch Fingers, really?
Rob in Stratford.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
Question for Jimmy. Good. Getting ready to start landscaping here. But, Jimmy, sticks, Don Felder, and Cronin last year. Hands down, I go to the Amp all the time. I live in Stratford. Hop on the train. I've seen dozens of shows. And best show ever last year. We had the ushers working, dancing in unison with the fans up in Section 301. Everyone's unbelievably loving it. Any chance?
Hopefully we'll see Styx in the fall at Oakdale, but no summer tour. They're touring with Chicago this summer, and since we had Chicago and Styx last year, both at the Amp, we decided to not bring it back this year, so we'll hopefully do it next year. But maybe Styx in the fall.
All right, well, at least, all right, Oakdale, not as dance-friendly as the Amp is up in them upper tiers there where you could just really get into the music and enjoy yourself, but...
Give it a try.
At least I know.
Yeah.
One last question. Is there a way to get an actual paper ticket? Yeah. Can you get a paper ticket rather than doing the digital Live Nation? Like some other venues, I'm able to call the box office and they'll mail you the tickets. Because it's nice to have that paper stub where you can remember that you saw the shows versus the digital age. You lose any copy of it.
I agree with you. I have come up with the idea of selling paper tickets at the Meadows this year.
Nice.
So cool.
And maybe what you do, and I'm looking for machines that might do it. You put your digital ticket under a screen and it prints a paper ticket out.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that'd be great.
So I'm looking for that right now, and maybe it costs $5 or something to do it. Something really cheap to.
Jimmy, that's brilliant, by the way.
Yeah.
And we're celebrating.
If you could bring it to the amp, that would be awesome.
Well, we could bring it to the Amp too. You could go to Oakdale and buy paper tickets.
Right.
If you go to the Oakdale box office, you will get a paper ticket.
I got one from a cop once. Sorry.
All right.
All right.
So I'll look out in the fall for Oakdale sticks.
All right. Thank you, Rob. By the way, Chicago and Styx playing Jones Beach June 23rd.
Wow.
Ed in Milford.
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, Jimmy. Right. Santana, any chance of them coming to Connecticut?
I think there's a chance in the fall, but right now not happening. Only playing Jones Beach.
Jones Beach, Santana, and Doobie Brothers, July 2nd.
Yeah, I saw that. All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Hey, it's a ferry ride over.
Yeah. It's a nice place.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Yeah, right on the water. Beautiful.
We're lucky. We have two really cool places right on the water.
Yep.
The Amp and Jones Beach.
Well, not at the Amp. We're actually working on bringing John Stewart to Bushnell.
Oh.
So I think we're going to get that done and announce it sometime next week. We're close to getting it finished.
Chaz and AJ in the morning. Jimmy Complic, Live Nation on the show. Lots of questions coming in over the phone and by text at the same number, 877-764-2535. Huntington, Long Island wants to know about Matchbox 20.
Not touring this year.
Oh.
Michelle wants to know, any chance of Weezer coming back?
Not this summer. Talking about touring, but not playing Connecticut, so not probably happening this summer.
Cindy wants to know about Puddle of Mud or Disturbed.
Disturbed looks like fall at Mohegan Sun. No word on Puddle of Mud.
No.
So it looks like, what does that mean? You have dates?
You're talking?
They're talking about touring in the fall. We talked to them about Mohegan Sun, and that's where it's at right now.
Oh.
But we're not holding dates. Don't know the time period or anything like that at this point.
And when you're not holding dates, have you talked about money yet?
No. Dates come first.
Gotcha.
Dates first and money.
Yeah, money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Dates are easy. Money is hard.
Yep, me too.
There was one too much. We want to pay less.
Right. Who speaks first when it comes to money?
They do. The artist does.
They do.
And look, the less the artist gets paid, the less the ticket prices are.
Right.
Ticket prices are definitely related to the price of the artist. So when people complain about high ticket prices, it only means the artist is getting a ton of money. That's all.
Greedy artists.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. And we've talked about this several times. Yeah. The Eagles with the $500 ticket started this whole
thing. Way to go, Eagles. Thing.
Well, people paid it. That, if we didn't pay it, it'd be like, well, that was a bad idea.
Exactly right.
Well, that's the whole idea. And I always say to people, first of all, I don't set ticket prices most of the time. The artist sets ticket prices. They really do. They tell me what ticket price to charge.
Yeah.
So that's most of the time. But if I get to set ticket prices, the lower the ticket price, the lower the guarantee I have to give the artist, the lower the ticket price. Because I make money when you drink, and when you park, and when you eat, and when you buy T-shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's where I make the money. Most of the ticket money goes to the artist.
There's something about 3 Days Grace. They did that Bite Bash at UBS Arena.
Yeah.
And there was a line of at least 60 people at their merch stand for hours.
Yeah.
Like it never ended.
Yeah.
They made more money from their merch than they made performing.
Oh, big time, yeah.
That happens a lot. That happens a lot. And it's great marketing for them because everybody's wearing their T-shirt around town the next day.
So when this conversation begins, they say a number. Do they say the full amount that they want? Or
yes. Yeah, including sound and lights.
Wow.
Okay,
so that many times it could cost $50,000 a night.
Whew. Man, wrong business.
we'll have shows at the People's Bank Arena or Mohegan Sun where the band will bring 25 trucks. And we have to load out 25 trucks. It's crazy.
Yeah.
On this day in 1969... Jimmy Kopelik, legendary concert promoter, held his first concert at Veterans Memorial.
It really wasn't my first. It was the first show that I... wasn't the first show. First artist, but it was the second show I did with them. So you almost have that right, because I saw that too. It was 68 with Steppenwolf.
Oh.
Okay.
November 1st.
All right, so this was not second your first
time.
Show.
This was the second time I've ever brought Steppenwolf in.
Oh, wow.
Okay. What did you pay Steppenwolf in 1968?
$3,500.
Wow.
All right, so $3,500 in 1968. And let's try to find like maybe not an equivalent band, but let's try to find another. What did you pay Bon Jovi the last time they came around?
Seven figures.
Ooh. Damn, man. So it has gone up.
And there's no decimal point in those seven figures.
Wow. Man. It's good to be him.
Well, let me tell you, there are artists that get more than that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and I love John Bon Jovi, but, the Paul McCartneys of the world and the Rolling Stones of the world get, you know, tons and tons of money.
What's the most you paid the Stones?
The funny thing is, I haven't had the Stones in a number of years, and ticket prices are a lot less. But I can tell you that the stadium shows, let's put it that way, instead of talking about artists.
Okay.
If an artist plays a stadium, they can make $5 million that night, $6 million that night.
Sorry, that was me decompressing.
That's one show. So like when Bruce does, four or five shows.
Jesus.
It's a tremendous amount of money to
make.
I'd be
the happiest person in the world. I'd be like going, yeah, everything's beautiful. Life is wonderful. Yeah, just saying.
And then the next day, you go to the next stadium, and you make another $5 million.
I'm sorry. I'm turning green.
Look how upset AJ's getting listening to these dollar amounts.
They must not get bills in the mail and go, ha!
Right, they have people who pay all that. They never pay a bill.
Right, they don't even see them.
Something breaks in their house.
They don't even see the bill.
Something breaks in their house.
I need to buy a new house.
I need to buy a new pair of shoes.
You wear flip-flops.
Exactly right. Wow.
What's the most you've paid an artist that you can remember?
I've paid an artist $4 million, and I'm working on paying artists more, actually. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, so you're working on something now where you're going to pay more than $4 million.
It's possible, yeah.
And would that show be in Connecticut in 2026?
It could be.
I gotta write something down here.
I love it.
I gotta write something down here. Become and
that would be the biggest check you've written out.
Yeah.
Yep.
This next one. So you've written out $4 million. That's a. Right. I'm sorry, that's, man. That's a tremendous amount of money to write. It's like.
Well, there's no check. We wire money now.
Wire money.
Oh, wow.
We wire money now. So they don't want to wait for the check to clear.
Right.
They don't want to worry about the check clearing.
Right. That'd be, you know, you wouldn't have enough space on the check if it was like $4,472,600. You know what I mean? And then 38 cents.
Yeah, what's the cents part for? Right.
We once overpaid Billy Joel $250,000 by mistake.
Oh.
And how did that work out?
Said, yo.
It did work.
That's what Jimmy said. He's like, yo.
Hey.
Well, damn, I had to run down the hall and say, wait a second, we overpaid you by $250,000.
Right.
Was that cash or a check back then?
It was check.
Check.
Just a minute, piano man.
we'll just take it off the next one.
Yeah.
What's the most you remember paying someone in cash?
Oh, my goodness. We haven't done cash since probably the 80s. But we had to get $50,000 in cash.
Oh, what does that look like?
That's in a shopping bag, right? A brown paper bag?
We actually at Watkins Glen had a $25,000 paper bag of 20s.
Wow.
Of 20s?
Yeah,
that's the ones you don't mix up.
What was that, like to break money at the gate to make change?
No, I had to come back to Connecticut and go to all the ticket outlets and collect the money. I had somebody fly in on a helicopter. Bring the money up to the Allman Brothers.
Wow.
Speaking of the Allman Brothers, somebody asked me to ask you today about the brothers.
Yes.
Great concert. I was wondering if that would any chance of that coming back or happening again.
It's really up to J-Mo, our Connecticut buddy. He lives up in Bloomfield. And they were going to do two shows in Boston in November, last November. And but J-Mo's back was hurting him. So he couldn't play the drums. Hopefully his back's getting better. I think there's a chance next fall they might tour.
Nice.
And would that come to Connecticut? Would it be at the Beacon? Would it be...
Well, I would hope it would be an arena. I would love to get it at Mohegan Sun or the People's Bank Arena, one of the two. I prefer Mohegan Sun. It's a beautiful, small building. But it's up to J-Mo.
Feel better, J-Mo.
All right. Glad I asked it.
Yeah.
And thank you for sending that in an email. Jimmy, thank you so much, brother. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation.